May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each and every one of our hearts. Amen. I'm surprised at myself sometimes when emotions flood through me. I guess I have the idea that I get to have one emotion at a time. But the truth is that in worship, I often find myself very serious, almost weeping with seriousness, joyful, lighthearted, and even sometimes amused, and sort of all at once together. I'm on part two of a series called Serving Jesus and Others, and it's about vision and mission for the church. And if you weren't here or haven't heard last week's, I would beg you please to pick it up. It'll be on the website in a day or two. If you don't pick up the tape, you'll be able to listen to it there. It really is about who we are and who we are becoming as a congregation, as a body of Christ. And I think for many of us, myself included, it represents enormous change in how I see the world, how I understand it, how I understand who Jesus is, and how I understand what it is that he calls me to do. There is both a freedom that comes in it, but also a seeing differently than what we're accustomed to. I'm reminded of two stories, one by Dave Barry, a humorist, who had a screen porch out the back of his house. Three walls that opened up into the house, three walls with a door. And every morning, his couple of dogs would run to that door and wait for him to come and open the door and let them out in the morning. And they had a tremendous windstorm go through that part of Florida where they live, probably one of the hurricanes, the outskirts of that hurricane, and it blew away their entire screen porch except for the door. And the door remained standing there in its frame, no other walls whatsoever, just open into the backyard. And the next morning, the dogs came charging downstairs and sat at the door and waited for Dave to come and open it so they could go out. And after they'd been out in the backyard doing what they do in the morning and came running to come back in, they came up to the door and sat outside the door waiting for Dave to come and open it and let them in. A parallel. Young elephants, when they are being raised to be used and trained by humans, are attached to a stake with a chain that goes around one leg. And the chain is strong enough to restrain a baby elephant. And so the baby elephant learns that it can go only a certain distance, and when it feels the tug on that chain, no matter how hard it tugs, the chain isn't going to let loose, and so it knows that that is the limit of its tether, the limit of its ability. Well, as it happens, when the elephant grows large enough not only to break the chain, but even to pull that stake from the ground, it won't even try, because it has been trained that that is the limit of its tether. And you can use a very small and weak chain and restrain a huge elephant because it doesn't know that it has the strength to move on. Now, I want you to hold those two images, if you would, in the course of what I have to say, and we'll come back to them. From Scripture, Leviticus 19:18, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Jesus You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your neighbor and pray for your enemy. Love them as well. Matthew 19, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, 9, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5, 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. James 2, 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Again and again, we are taught in scripture that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the call on us as individuals, as a congregation, as the body of Christ. It is what Jesus said, love God with everything you have, love your neighbor as yourself, love even your enemy and pray for them. The challenge for us, and you have heard this from me again and again and will hear it from me again and again, is that I believe that in the church we don't really know how to do this. We really don't know. Even if we desire to do this, we don't quite know where to start. And one of the things which has happened in the church, not everywhere, but which has happened widely in the church, is that the best we manage to do generally is to take some of our income and donate it to organizations that love our neighbors, whether here or elsewhere in the world. We hire proxies for us. We hire ministers for us. We hire priests for us. We hire deacons for us. We hire missionaries for us. We give them our money. And somehow that seems to be the best we can do, with some exceptions. But it's a struggle for us to live out this clear command of Jesus. We're at a loss for how to do it. And here's the crux of part of it anyway. And I think why we get so easily confused in our culture, in the culture that you and I are raised in, born into, raised up by, formed and shaped by, we are accustomed to being solicited as consumers of one demographic or another. In fact, in the marketing done to us, our identity with one group or another is created or reinforced, and then we are sold on the value of something because of our group identity. We are Republicans or Democrats or libertarians or independents, and we are solicited within that demographic because we identify with it. It's a part of our identity. We are small car drivers, or green in the car we drive, or we drive a big Suburban or a minivan or an SUV, and we're solicited to as a part of that group. Or we are Cubs fans or Sox fans or Bears or Blackhawks or Cougars or Yankees or Cheeseheads or... See the noise? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's identity being spoken forth. Go Packers! See? We are smokers or non-smokers. We are solicited as members of groups. And whether we, each of us, are professional marketers or own a business or are consumers, we think about advertising and marketing and public relations as a mass appeal to a certain group of buyers or potential buyers whether we are selling cars, a sports team, a laundry detergent, Anglicanism, or Jesus. We think about demographic. We think about the mass market that we are going after. And we are going to sell that mass market Jesus. Our product to them, whoever them is. Hold that thought too. Last week I quoted some valuable insight from the missional church movement, though I also noted that I'm wary of elements of it, and also the tendency of churches and leaders to camp on the latest religious fad, whatever it is. Here's a key quote. I read this last week, and part of it rings true, but I think there's something amiss in part of it as well. Listen and see if you can pick out what I think is amiss. There's an article written by David Horrocks called The Missional Church, and he says this: the church should stop mimicking the surrounding culture and become an alternative community with a different set of beliefs, values, and behaviors. Ministers would no longer engage in marketing. Churches would no longer place primary emphasis on programs to serve members. The traditional ways of evaluating successful churches, bigger buildings, more people, bigger budgets, larger ministerial staff, new and more programs to serve members would be rejected. Now, I would just pause here from this quote for a moment and note that if you haven't seen it, Bill Hybels has a new book out in which he talks about the enormous success of Willow Creek and the failure of Willow Creek. And what he identifies as the failure is, he says, we have reached thousands of people with the faith, but we've only made it an inch deep. We have failed to make true disciples. Bill Hybels says that about his own church movement. Now back to this quote from Horrocks. New yardsticks would be the norm. To what extent is our church a sent community in which each believer is reaching out to his community? To what extent is our church impacting the community with a Christian message that challenges the values of our secular society? That's the end of the quote. Now, I appreciate the redress of corporate church making, where the methods of building and running corporations are applied wholesale to the church until it is virtually indistinguishable from a corporation, except that its product is Jesus, or actually self-help with a Christian theme. I don't believe this was ever what Jesus intended. So the criticism of the missional movement toward the church, I think, is helpful. But there's a problem in the alternative that's proposed, and here's the sentence that I have the problem with. New yardsticks would be the norm. To what extent is our church a sent community in which each believer is reaching out to his community? To what extent is our church impacting the community with a Christian message that challenges the values of our secular society? Here's the problem. This is still mass marketing. How do we reach all of them and get them to respond to our message and change their values and join our church? And frankly, most all of us think this way most all of the time. And it's hard to think about community in any other way. I believe we're called to something different and very radical for us, every one of us, including me. And I think it's going to take a lot of on-learning, a lot of on-thinking. giving up how we have analyzed and thought through being church and living in community. And that is to do what Jesus did with his disciples. He painstakingly created personal relationships, one-on-one with each of them. He talked to them face-to-face. He walked with them, ate with them, taught them, not with a mass marketing program, but through ongoing relationship. Did he teach principles to crowds? Yes. The Sermon on the Mount is a key example. But for those who ultimately changed the world, his disciples, it was one-on-one. For the most of the time, on most of his journeys, it was one-on-one. For the woman at the well, it was one-on-one. For Zacchaeus, it was one-on-one. For the thief on the cross, it was one-on-one. There are things that we do as community. We worship together. We hear teaching from God's word. We pray together. But you are priests and evangelists who are called to love your neighbor, singular. Not create a program or flyers to tell your neighbors about the love of God, but rather to show and tell the love of God yourself with your own hands and mouth, one on one. We've begun on Sunday mornings, two times a month now, to go out into the neighborhoods. Small groups do this and knock on doors. We began this how many months ago, Rebecca? 6 months? 8 months? 10 or 11. Two Sunday mornings a month, we go out and knock on doors. Now, Rebecca began this initiative, and I credit her for listening to the Lord in the way she did it. But I will tell a story on myself and some others. I'm not the only one that's done this. Is I've gone to Rebecca and said, you know what, I think we ought to create some flyers or maybe a little gold coin that says Resurrection has our website on it or a refrigerator magnet with a butterfly on it. And when you guys go out into the neighborhoods, you can give these to the people that you talk to. And that way, they'll know where we're from. And if they want to come to church, they'll know where the church is. And we can put it on the refrigerator, and they'll be reminded about it when they see it. And Rebecca just says, no. Other people have made similar suggestions, and she's just said, no. And here's the insight. If you've got a flyer to hand out, that's what you go out into the neighborhood to do, not to build relationships. If you've got a refrigerator magnet, you think as soon as that refrigerator magnet is in that other person's hand, you're done. And that's not what it's about. It's about building relationships one on one. It's painstaking. It takes a very long time. You may go back to the same house 100 times. But it's about building relationships one on one. And it isn't about doing it just on Sunday morning, 2 Sundays a week. You are the evangelists of this church. That means you bring good news. That's literally what the term means. That you bring good news that God loves you. That he loves you so much that he incarnated and came to show that love and teach you how to do it. And how he did it was one-on-one, painstakingly. And even at the end, you can see that most of them still really didn't quite fully get it. Even right up to the crucifixion and through it, most of them really still didn't quite get it. They were all locked in a room, afraid that the authorities were coming for them next, with no confidence whatsoever that the one they had been with for 3 years, who had raised the dead, who had healed the crippled, given sight to the blind, who said he would rise again on the third day, no confidence whatsoever that that would actually happen. And so after he was killed on the cross, the disciples went and hid in a room and locked the door. And in that locked room, Jesus came again. This is good news. Death is caught up in the victory of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. This is good news. One-on-one, painstakingly, we build relationships. It's clear in Scripture that you are the priests. This is the priesthood of all believers. You are the evangelists. Me too as one of you. Me too as part of this community, but not me as your proxy. Not Rebecca as your proxy, not even the teams that she takes out as your proxy. You are the priests of the Most High God. You are the evangelists. You are the bringers of good news. And the way that you must do that, the way I must do that, is not with a mass marketing campaign, not with a flyer, even that I rubber band to my neighbor's doorknobs. It's one-on-one. It's you and me going to my neighbor's door and knocking on it and saying, hi, how are you? How's life? Not here are the four spiritual laws. Not please accept these four spiritual laws, confess Jesus as Savior, then I can move on to the next house. It's about building relationships, one-on-one. The first conversation probably isn't about the good news at all. It's winter, wasn't it? Haven't seen you much. We've all been locked up in the house because the winter's been so long and tough. But you guys make out through it. How are the kids? How's your mom? That's loving the neighbor. That's loving the neighbor. And it's something every last person in this room is called by Jesus to do. No exceptions, me included. Were the Garamonis and the Arts who were here, just stand up for a second, and all the extended family, just stand up for a second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to tell a story. You guys all stand up. Right. And Kyle, wave. All right, thank you. You guys can sit down. Their mom, Sharon, was our mail lady. Some of you know this story. For a year, whenever our mail lady came by the house, we went up and talked to her. For a year during the summer, we put out cold sodas in the mailbox, and in the winter, hot chocolate, and built a relationship because we loved her. She was a wonderful woman, a delight. And not only did she come, and I don't say to mark, but to point out what happens when one-on-one relationships are built, not only did she come, she brought her whole family. She brought the neighbor kids. She's gone to be with the Lord, and I know is in great joy before his throne now. But Sharon did not come here because of a mass marketing campaign. She came because we fell in love with her. And fell in love with us. And that is the challenge for every last person in this room today. We have to stop thinking about mass marketing campaigns. Is there a place for programs? Is there a place in where we are? Yes. Is there a place for teaching and training? Yes. We worship? Yes. We're so accustomed in this culture to think about them and how we reach them that I never reach you. It's all done at a distance by methods. And we, like Jesus did, painstakingly, day after day, one by one, build relationships and demonstrate the love of God. It's our challenge this week. I challenge every last person in the first of this house. Challenge this week, go down one day before. And thus say, how are you? How was winter? Begin building a relationship. I promise God will invade that relationship. The Holy Spirit is an expert at traveling through his priests to touch the hearts and lives of others. But there's a part of it that you have to do, and that is that you have to go and knock on the door of a neighbor. Now I want to come back to Dave Barry and the elephant and finish this way. All of us, I think, are Dave Barry's two dogs at the door. We're waiting for somebody to open the door for us. The Lord has already blown the walls down. And every one of us who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior has someone in him or her that is greater than the one that is in the world. That means Satan. And yet, that little bitty chain which held us back and which we think is chained down,